From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Remember the solar amendment that 73% of voters approved last August? It would extend property tax breaks for businesses installing solar energy systems. But that amendment is working its way through the Florida legislature, and it's taking two very different forms. The Senate version and the House version differ in length by 13 pages. And the House bill is adding numerous requirements for companies and homeowners financing or leasing solar panels. That has some solar advocates concerned, while others applaud the addition of consumer protections. We'll talk with the authors of the two bills, turning the amendment into law, and with people working in the solar industry about what it means for their business and their customers. Plus, the Sanibel Poetry Fest is Monday, and we'll talk with organizers and local poets from Charlotte County to Sanibel about the power of poems in a world where words can feel at once omnipotent and disposable. First, the news. Welcome back. I'm Julie Glenn. For 17 years, the Sanibel Poetry Fest has gathered poets, writers, and authors from around Southwest Florida to celebrate the beauty of the art of verse. This year, 20 poets will gather to share their work and celebrate the joys of writing and sharing poems with both inspired by and written in Southwest Florida. Joining us to talk about the Sanibel Poetry Fest is festival organizer and poet Joe Pacheco. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Hi.
Also joining the show today is Sanibel poet Lorraine Walker-Williams. Welcome to the show, Lorraine.
Hello.
And also from a little bit north of Sanibel, we have Dorothy Brooks of Punta Gorda, who organizes Charlotte County poetry events during April's National Poetry Month. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
We're talking about writing poetry in and about Southwest Florida ahead of the 17th annual Sanibel Poetry Fest, which is happening Monday. Call in and ask your questions of our poets and share your thoughts. 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Joe Pacheco, your poems and other works have a...
My name is Pacheco.
Pacheco, I'm sorry. I missed a C in there.
It's the story of my life. Don't worry about it.
Pacheco, your poems and other works have appeared on NPR, and you've even been a former member of WGCU's own media board. So how did you get involved in the Sanibel Poetry Fest?
Because I began writing poetry after 50 years, and the Academy of American Poets had just gotten April declared National Poetry Recognition Month in 1996, and it was the year 2000, and a poet, a columnist, Marianne Strickland, decided to gather some of the island poets together and celebrate poetry on Sanibel, and that's how it began.
So now you didn't always write poetry. You took a few years off there in the middle.
Yeah, I took off between the ages of 20 and 70. I took off 50 years, and I worked for a living.
Well, that kind of gets in the way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So what got you back into it?
Sanibel Island reawakened my muse.
It did.
All right.
So the Poetry Festival has been going on since 2000. How has it changed over the years?
Well, we've gotten more poets, and we've gotten poets from outside the island. And we have had students. We've had Lee County Poetry Contest winners. We've had a variety of formats and events. But more or less, it's become like an institution on Sanibel, and people look forward to the fest every year.
So I'm going to turn now to Lorraine Walker-Williams. You're a Sanibel poet who's published several books of poetry, including your latest Simply Sanibel Poems. How have your poems changed over the years?
I enjoy the challenge of poetry, and I like to try new things. About 20 years ago, I received a Dodge Foundation grant in poetry and worked on metrical poetry and also on editing. And after getting that grant, I was shortly thereafter leaving my profession in education and literally diving into my writing life.
So Dodge gives out grants. I'm kind of hung up there. I'm thinking of Dodge pickup trucks.
No, Geraldine R. Dodge Foundation.
There we go. Okay.
In the yes, thank you for clarifying. They have given grants to educators. Yes.
Oh, okay. So then you went into it full time.
Yes, I basically since the year 2000, and I spent 1 year writing every single day, and a chapbook emerged from that. And then my first book came out in 2003. I had attended the University of Florida Writers Conference and was really inspired to get things out there. And my passion has been poetry.
And it seems like Sanibel is your muse.
Not always.
Okay,
because I have my latest book is Sanibel.
Okay.
And I certainly love the island, but I also travel. And I like to think that when there is an issue, I will write about it. And each of my books concentrates on something a little different. One of the previous books was called Fire in the Grass, and I dealt with topics such as love, relationships, war, and things of that nature. And my last book, Split Poems, dealt with the narrative poetry going through a great life change.
Okay, well, that sounds pretty interesting. And Dorothy Brooks, you're active with the Poets in Punta Gorda. So tell me a little bit about your work there and how you've helped people connect with their desire to write poetry.
Well, we have two venues that have been really encouraging to poets. One is the Lifelong Learning Institute at FSW in Charlotte County, and the other is a local bookstore that's downtown in Punta Gorda. It's Copperfish Books. And so both of them have been having classes in poetry, meetings of poets and people who love poetry, and it's just taken off. It's been great.
It's kind of like a little support system.
It is.
It's kind of nice.
Absolutely.
Can I also add that I write a column for the Santiva Chronicle. It's an online newspaper for Sanibel and Captiva Islands, and I've been doing it for 3 years. And I think it widens the audience for poetry.
Oh, okay. So yeah, you talk about poetry in your column?
No, I don't talk about it. I write it.
Oh, so the column is poetry.
The
right.
column is poetry.
I gotcha.
And it's also, I was able to design the column. So I have a little blurb at the end of the poem about the poem. So if you're not a poet, you get to learn how a poem comes to be.
Yeah, and sometimes right. you read a poem and you just kind of don't really know what to think at the end. It's nice to have the poet kind of explain it a little
bit
to you.
I write a poetry column on the Islander. And 12 years mm-hmm. I've been writing the column, a weekly column in the Islander.
The Islander.
Yeah. And I've written three books. And, of course, the first one was half of it was about Sanibel. But in all my books, Sanibel takes up most of the poetic time.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's hard not to. It's such a star. Right. We are talking about the upcoming Sanibel Poetry Fest happening Monday and about what it takes to write poems about your region. Call in and share your thoughts and aspirations for your own work at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we are at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCO. So, Joe Pacheco,
yeah.
I have it right this time, with the Poetry Fest. What is the format for poetry readings? So when you go to the Poetry Fest, what happens there? Do you sit and listen to people read their poetry or their workshops?
In the fest, we have a particular format. We give each poet 4 minutes, and they can read one or two poems. They can be connected. They have 4 minutes of time to read their poetry. And that's what our format is. And we have about 20, 22 poets, and there's barely enough time.
Is there like a little bit of Q&A or just interaction?
No. And then we ask members of the audience to get up and read either one of their own poems or one of their favorite poems written by another author. Because we're celebrating poetry, basically.
Well, let's celebrate now. Do you have something that you could read for us?
Yes, I'd like to read my rap sonnet, which I recited, I think, at the second of Poetry Fest way back in 2001. And it's called We'll Take Our Poetry. And usually the audience applauds to it, okay? We'll take our poetry from wherever it comes, from seniors in rest homes, from rappers in slums, from housewives in kitchens, slammers in cafes, from yuppies in condos, from Jamals and Jose's, from professors in colleges and teens asking why, our poetry will ring with their laughter and cry. We'll take our poetry, whatever its time, from free verse to meter, from hip-hop to rhyme, from sonnet to ballad, from ode to pantoum. Our poetry will explode in one sonic boom. We'll take our poetry to wherever it goes, past horizons of heart to the depths of our souls, and keep searching for truth. Wherever it may be, we'll tell it like it is with our poetry.
That was pretty hip. I mean, you're kind of moving to that one, too.
Yeah,
you're almost dancing.
At that time, rap, which is really poetry, was becoming popular or being discovered by regular poets and being accepted.
Yeah, and it was kind of like an open invitation, too. Yeah, that was like an invitation to people for the Poetry Festival.
Right.
So, Dorothy Brooks, your weekly meetings with poets in Punta Gorda, you say that people are coming to you with an interest in poetry. Do they like hearing it spoken when the poet reads aloud?
They do, and they like discussing it. A lot of people will say, well, I don't understand poetry. But then when they come to these meetings and they hear poems that they understand and they love, they begin to appreciate poems and they read more and more. It's really... It's really good to see.
Well, now I want to hear more. Do you have a poem that you brought that you could read?
I do. I do. This is about poetry also and about Florida, but it's a little more quiet than Joe's poem. It's called Carasan Sui, Late Rock Garden, and I wrote it about the Murakami Gardens over in Boca Raton, which is a rock garden like a Zen rock garden, very quiet. Stillness, born of light and shadow. Stillness of stones raked to perfection, ripples like the moment a pebble drops into a quiet pond, that singular moment become this unmoving present. Time stilled and fully enclosed, like this garden of rock, like a heart is enclosed, like a perfect egg in a nest, solid walls holding back the lush green wildness outside. Holding back time itself. Here, a poem drifts down like sunlight, and the air rises heavenward to receive it.
Very good.
Beautiful. Yeah, I don't really know what to say after that. I'm ready to just go and start meditating. I mean, that was just really calming. And then, you know, your voice changes when you're reading it because the voice kind of emotes and you know, reflects what the words are saying.
Yes.
In the way that you read it.
Yes.
I think that's so interesting. Okay, Lorraine, you're up. I really want to hear what you have.
The poem I'm going to read is from my book. And as you all know, Sanibel is known as one of the best shelling beaches. Seeking shells. On the beach, a blowout tide. Sandbars, tide pools, gulf water. Recedes, exposing live shells, scattering late afternoon light. Eyes fixed on finding tiny olive, limpet shells that will drop through the narrow neck of a bottle to be carried away to mountains. With each careful choosing, a shell holds sea's memory. One live shell wiggles free, and I cast it into the shallows, soon swallowed by waves secure offshore. Midsummer, when I miss the ocean most, these tide-tossed shells pull me back, splashing salt water, walking wet sand barefoot, holding the sea in my hand.
So I'm ready to go to the beach now. Everybody that's gone to the beach has had that experience and is just kind of encapsulated there. So I wanted to ask you, we're We have a few minutes left. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the place of poetry in modern society. Words are powerful, but then they're also sort of disposable these days with Twitter and tweets, and they just kind of disappear as quickly as they're typed in. So tell me a little bit about how you feel the permanence of poetry in our world today.
Well, Auden did say poetry makes nothing happen, but that was an ironic statement. Poetry does make many things happen. But I feel that with the internet nowadays, poetry has exploded in the United States. I think we have about 7 million people writing poetry for a considerable amount of time.
Like in 40 characters or less?
No, there are Twitter poets, right?
Yeah.
You know, who tweet poems.
So what do you think?
Well, one of the things that I've been really interested in is something that I call poetry of witness, which is poets writing about contemporary social issues from their own experience. And there's lots and lots of contemporary poets who are doing that. And when you start looking for those poems are just really powerful and moving. And I think that they change minds eventually.
Mm-hmm. Poetry is like breathing. You slow down and you ponder and you let the words sink in, and you can go back and reread it and cherish it. I think poetry helps us because we need a break from the intensity of our lives and what we are hearing and being bombarded with constantly.
All right. Well, the Poetry Fest is coming up on Monday, and that's out on Sanibel. I'm going to do my out cue, and then I'm going to let Joe read us out. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith and directed by Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida. And Joe, one last poem.
Making nothing happen. Whatever their race, color, station, or education, poetry makes nothing happen for most people and perishes easily from their earth. Ah, poetry. Two or more ways to read or interpret any line of it. Poetry does make nothing happen, gives nothing a local habitation and a name, creating from puffs of breath and imprints on a page the narrative of our species. Homo poeticus, man the poet, the footnote in the volume of forever, who dreams of vastness in the tiniest of spaces, and dies younger than the briefest of stars.